Welcome back to Shuffle Bloody Shuffle, where we unearth metal's bangers and clangers through the decades.
Hello.
I was waiting for you to be like, well done.
Well, no. It's like, you don't need praise for everyone.
I feel like No, you're right, I don't.
That one felt quite stripped back, but beforehand you were always going, the only, and I repeat, the only place that you could...
I repeat, yeah. The only.
And if you can find somewhere else like it, I will give you 10 quid.
Well, I don't know about that. No. Sure. How are you?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. But it's a bit sniffly. A bit of a cold.
Did you have a cold on the last ep as well?
No.
I think you might have.
No. No. When we did the Viking one, I was in the midst of some sort of flu or COVID or something. Like, did I tell you about this? This is totally off subject. Did I tell you about when, during that time, I hallucinated audibly a conversation with all the presenters of Talk Sport talking at me for hours, hours
yeah,
and hours.
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
I can't listen
to it. I thought you were
going
to say Cawthorn or something.
Who? Cawthorn? No.
I thought you were going to say Cawthorn.
That would have been more relevant to the pods. But yeah, but that did happen to me, yeah.
Fucking hell. But you're no hallucinations this week?
No. It's just a cold.
Just a cold. Okay, nice. Prog week.
Mm.
Excited?
I've been thinking about this with prog metal, because if you asked me if I was a fan of it, I'd probably say no, but I...
No.
But I don't know. I don't know now, because I mean, I really like prog rock, like the old sort of 60s and 70s kind of stuff. And yeah. Prog metal was nothing like that. And I don't know why I compare it to it, if you know what I mean. I sort of feel like I'm trying to hold it in the same light as one another. And
yeah.
But... I mean, especially from listening to these albums, it's nothing like that, is it? Do you know what I mean? And it seems that it's more of an influence in a style than just it being straight up prog metal, maybe? I don't know.
Well, I was going to ask you, right? So the two albums we got given were Solitude Eternus, Beyond the Crimson Horizon, which came out in 1992, and then Thought Industry, Mods Carve the Pig. That's all I've written down, but it's a longer title, right? Which came out in 93. My question to you is, are these typically prog metal, or do they just sort of like explore progressive tendencies?
I would say, so that's a good question, John. I think, particularly Solitude Eternus, I'd say that theirs is a prog influence within their doom sound.
Yeah.
Thought Industry, though, like, I'd say that is kind of prog metal, right? It's so... I mean, what else is it?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, it's a lot of other things, but what else... What would you put it down as its main genre?
It?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I guess... All right, we'll get into that when we come to them. We'll start with the earlier record, which is Solitude Eternus. I'd never heard of this band.
No, sir.
Yeah, they're definitely more a epic doom band that kind of flirt with progressive... ideas, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, they are.
I wasn't mad at that.
No, but and I would say, because do you remember last week I was unsure and I thought you were gonna sort of do us in with picking this one.
Change it.
Yeah, I wanted you to change it. But I actually think there's enough prog in there for it to be to warrant being used for this week, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree. Were you into it?
Some of it I really liked, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Some of it, and we'll go into it a bit more detail with it, the song. Some of it, not as much, and not. I don't think any of it was bad. Just some songs were really good and really stood out to me, and other songs were just a little bit
forgetful.
A bit forgetful, yeah. How about you?
That's exactly my take. Exactly my take. Maybe like. Three songs that were like really, really good.
Yeah.
And then all the other ones were kind of like okay, but just didn't hit like the other ones did.
No, I completely agree. It's the highlights on there were really good.
Yeah, yeah. Track four, it came upon one night. Was that one for you? Standout?
That was one for me. Do you know what my favorite was though? Do you know track two, Black Castle?
Yeah.
Love that, man. I thought that was great.
I really like that track. They had the around the halfway point on that song, they did a really slow riff. It was like the first introduction to like super slow riffs on the album.
Yeah, I've got that here. It was actually, I'll tell you when it was, John. It was 1:48 because I made a note how much I enjoyed that riff. Yeah.
it was immediate like slow headbang when it came.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I felt like his vocals on that one were excellent. Like the melodies he used and stuff were really, really good.
Yeah.
I found that throughout the album there was the highlight songs normally came when he did really, really good vocal melodies.
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear that.
He's a great singer, to be fair, isn't he?
He's an amazing singer. He actually joined Candlemass. Or no, wait, maybe I'm getting that wrong.
No, he did.
You might be able to tell me because you're the Wikipedia dude. But there was like a Candlemass link, right? But they're heavily influenced by Candlemass. Like,
oh, heavily, yeah. But he joined Candlemass like late. Like he joined them in 2007.
Yeah, that's right.
But they were obviously.
But you can understand why.
Oh yeah. Like I mean, they're kind of a Candlemass worship band. But he's got the perfect voice to be in Candlemass, and so it proved.
Yeah, amazing voice. Mm. They actually took their name from Candlemass.
Oh God, I mean, it's no surprise, is it?
Yeah, no, it's not.
And Black Sabbath, though, as well.
Yep. And then they were probably like 1,400 other bands with Solitude as their name. So,
Let's get another word on the end. Eternus.
Slap an Eternus, yeah.
It's not the... What do you think of the name? It's a bit nothingy for me.
Yeah, a bit nothingy. Sounds more like an album name than a band name.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, I think I'm the same kind of boat. There wasn't enough prog throughout that I wanted more is what I'm trying to get at. For example, I think track 7, there's only 8 tracks, right? Which I think it was a good length as well. It was like 40-odd minutes or so. It didn't outstay its welcome.
No.
Which was a good help. But yeah, I think track 7, Plague of the Procreation, sorry. I think that was probably the most progressive song on the whole album.
Yeah.
And I just wish that they'd kind of explored that a little bit more throughout. They added like really cool like bursts of pace into that song as well. Like there was like a really fast flutter of double kicks at one point.
Yeah, I remember that bit. Yeah. That was cool, that part.
Yeah, because you didn't hear that throughout.
No.
And it waited until the end of the record almost to kind of hit you with that, which in one hand was cool because it was like throwing something new at you, but it just left me a little bit like, oh, I wish there was a bit more of that.
Well, the best bit of the album, the band, was the drummer. Like, he's so good.
Well, vocalist and drummer, I'd say.
Yeah. But I felt like what he brought to the band was probably, like, kind of added sort of prog elements throughout. Like, they might be doing, like, a straight riff, but he would sort of add fills or do changes in time to make it seem like it's in different time signatures or so, even if it might not be, but he'll just sort of make the changes at certain points, which I thought kind of gave it a bit of a different vibe than just sort of straight up doom.
Yeah. I can hear that. Yeah. He was sort of adding the flavor, wasn't he?
He really was. He was great. And the production on his drums was amazing. Like you could hear everything so clearly. There was so much clarity on every individual part of his kit. And yeah, the drums were produced, but not in a bad way. If you know, not overproduced in a bad way.
No, they weren't. Track 8, actually, the final track, there was no vocals on it, was there? It was kind of instrumental.
That was the instrumental. I liked that, though. I thought the riff was really good.
Yeah, really cool riff. I was going to say that for that track, they reverbed the snare to high heaven, but just the snare. It didn't seem like all the other things had the same kind of level. So I wonder if there was some sort of like production trick wizardry going on where they kind of like isolated the drums.
Probably. I mean, the drums did sound like they were isolated in that sense because they were so precise, and there seemed like there was a lot of space between everything, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Overall though, yeah, production was good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It's a hard album to really talk much about because it's kind of good, but it's not great. And
yeah,
it's not like, even though it is proggy and it's doomy, it's not like hugely interesting.
No, yeah, I agree. I agree there.
It's just like a solid metal album, isn't it? Solid, just sort of a solid.
So, yeah, solid epic doom record. that you'd maybe hear in the, it would maybe be one of those like in the top 10 or top 20, but nearer the back end of it.
Yeah. I tell you what though, when I first put it on, so the first two songs, I was like, oh, this is really good. Like, this is going to be really great. And I felt like as it went on, especially towards the end, I started getting bored with it.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think I wrote down, one was very Candlemass Worship, but great.
Yeah.
Two, that it had like really cool ideas with the kind of slowdown riff that we spoke about on 148 for those listeners. But then I think it was track three where I started to be a bit like,
track four was great. I thought the
track four was good. I loved the synth intro for that. Like it was,
No, I was gonna say it's quite. Did you find it? Was it a bit sort of John Carpenter-esque? Like it was quite old school horror.
I literally wrote anything remotely to a John Carpenter movie. I'm a sucker for.
Yeah.
Like, I think those exact words. Yeah. Oh, did you?
Yeah. You told me.
And five as well. I thought five was really good. The Hourglass. It had a kind of Egyptian flavor to it.
It did. Yeah, it did. Is that sort of thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, quite. So, I really enjoyed that as well. But then, like we said, then it started to drop off a bit. Six and seven were a little bit. Actually, no, that's not true. Seven was enjoyable. It kind of, maybe it was just a couple tracks that brought it down, but made the whole thing feel worse than it was.
I do think there was an element, though, that you could probably, some of the songs maybe were a little bit interchangeable.
Yeah.
John, talking about the Hourglass, I wrote a note here. and I said, I wonder if John thinks the main verse riff is a bit bouncy.
I didn't think it was bouncy, no. I actually put that I loved track five. I actually put that I really enjoyed it.
All right.
If I go back and listen to it with the bouncy tinted glasses on, will I notice it? We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah, okay. Score it?
Yeah, I want more to say about it, but I don't have anything to say.
No, it's just a very well put together epic doom record with like flirts of progression, like prog in there, but with just a couple songs that are just kind of average. That's like a really badly put together analysis of it. But
I don't know what to say, man. Should we move on? Because I feel like I'm sort of draining me talking about this one.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm going to score with a 3.7.
Okay, I've got a 3.6.
Okay, yeah.
Shall I point one out? But I feel guilty giving it any less than that, to be honest, because when it's great, it's really good. And I do think like a song like Black Castle, like I'll probably go back to that.
Yeah,
because I really liked it.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I thought you were gonna really love this.
I did too from the first listen, and I was like, this is bang up my street. Yeah. But the more I spent time with it, I just thought like it's just missing a certain something that really kind of wants me to keep going back to it. And I can't put my finger on what it was.
I read a review someone was talking about and saying that the album they did afterwards, I think it was a bit more full on. It was less proggy, maybe.
Okay.
And it was a lot better.
Doomy. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Apparently the album, I think the albums they did either side of it were better received.
Interesting.
Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Love the artwork, though. Love the artwork for it.
The artwork's great. Yeah, is that when we said it like a Stephen King sort of novel?
Yeah.
It really does. Really cool. It's great.
It does. Big fan of that. A long sleeve with that one would look awesome, to be fair.
Do you think
with
it exists?
The title down one sleeve.
No.
I hope so. I hope for them that it does.
Yeah.
All right.
A lot in stock.
Let's fast forward.
Still find them.
1 year, you can still find them. Thought Industry.
Mods Carve the Peg.
Yep. The rest of it?
Hey?
Have you got the rest of the title?
Oh, what? There's more, isn't there? Okay, yeah, Mods Carve the Peg, Assassin's Toads and God's Flesh. This album, we sat on this for ages because we got this back when we did 90s Thrash, didn't we?
Did, yes, which was some time ago now.
Yeah, and we listened to it and thought, this isn't right for Thrash, but it sounded interesting enough that we wanted to dive into it and talk about it on Progressive Week. So we kept hold of it for that.
We did.
And what do you think, John? Did we make the right choice keeping hold of it?
In what sense? Is it proggy or is it enjoyable?
Both. Answer the proggy question first.
Is it proggy? Yes. I'd say there's enough. Well, my take on it is that they were more a band with an identity crisis rather than a progressive band.
Right.
They were kind of throwing a lot at the wall and seeing what stuck and just sort of like piecing it together rather than flowing through the kind of stages of it all.
Do you not think they had their own sound though?
Had their own sound, yes.
It was all over the place.
That wasn't really the question, was it?
Yeah. No. But what I mean is I didn't think they were sort of like, I did feel like most of the songs had a similarity to one another though.
You did feel that?
Yeah, overall. I mean, yeah, you're right. There's a lot going on.
Was the overall feeling that it was bad?
For me?
Well, just, was that the link of all the songs together?
No, the theme was that this was all bad. No. I found this a quite difficult album to review because I did like it. I thought it was good. I really admired what they were trying to do because obviously the playing on it is great. And I thought the effort into what they were trying to accomplish was huge, really. Like a lot had gone into it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's an album I would necessarily go back to.
Yeah.
But what I did find throughout pretty much all of it, that there was enough interesting stuff going on to keep me listening.
Yes, I'll agree with you there. Like, it outstayed its welcome a little bit, but you're right. There was kind of enough there that was entertaining to some degree.
There was a lot of long songs, I realised, especially towards the end, I think. Like, a lot of the songs were sort of the 6-minute mark, which maybe didn't seem as necessary.
But that's not that's prog, isn't it? They're kind of 6 minutes is almost like a kind of short number.
That's true. But what I found though was the first 6 or 7 songs were a bit shorter, and I found I got through those songs quite quickly, and it was quite an enjoyable experience. And it started to drag a bit from Republicans in Love, track 8, to the end. I found it started to drag from there onwards, whereas the first half I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I somewhat agree. I think when I first put this on, I think track 1 it built me up for kind of a false idea of what was to come. The first song was giving me like Mr. Bungle / Dillinger.
Yeah.
It was kind of quite discordant, quite like stabby, kind of loose, but really well kept together.
Yeah.
And they did kind of jump back into that sound a bit throughout, but I don't know, man. There was a lot going on this record.
There was. And I mean, for me, and I'm wondering if the same for you, like track 1 was my favourite song on it by a way.
It was up there with one of them, yeah. I think I had 3 songs that I really liked. That one, track 5, which was Boil.
Yeah, I had that
and
one.
And the last track, To Build a Better Bulldozer.
Yeah, that was an instrumental again, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
I thought track 3, Gelatin, was good. And that had that, to me, that sounded like that would have been maybe like a single. Then it had a bit of it was like a chorusy part on it that had like a kind of a Alice in Chains sort of grungy element.
Yeah, I noted that was a very strange song. For me, there was almost like a post-hardcore kind of sound to it.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain, but it kind of took me by surprise. Didn't really enjoy it though, that song.
Did you not? There was a really great bit on it though, like where they would slow down and there'd be this sort of harmonised guitar line that was quite sort of floaty. And it was really good. I really enjoyed that bit. Yeah.
How did you feel about the track after? James Whitfield is dead.
Yeah, I think it was a bit... I think that was just one of those where it was all right. There'd be like some decent moments in it, but it wasn't standout.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Did you feel that it was a little bit like kind of proto-new metal in this as well?
A little bit. You could hear a little bit of it. There was some kind of groove metal as well sort of thrown in.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, I don't know, man. It was just all over the place for me. I think it was track 6. It went a bit like kind of SoCal punk almost.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. I mean, yeah, it sounded like a skate punk sort of song, didn't it?
It did, yeah. And then that didn't really progress into anything. That was just like a weird short song that they were just like, just have one of these.
Were yeah. they, did you not notice though, throughout they would sort of burst into kind of punkier moments? Quite a few spots.
Not as obviously as that, potentially.
Not as obviously as that song, but they would do go into that sort of double time kind of faster yeah. parts. And it actually yeah. reminded me of, you know, when Voivod would do that.
Yeah, I was getting Voivod from this, but yeah. like worse.
I mean, I don't think it's that close that you can kind of compare.
Really?
What, Voivod and these guys?
Yeah.
I suppose yeah. they are both prog metal bands.
Yeah, similarities. How did you feel about Worms Listen, track 9?
Worms Listen. Was that the... Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. There was some really nice like sort of looping backing vocals that were going like underneath it, which I enjoyed.
I thought that song kind of epitomised the album, really. It was like... The whole song was a little bit plodding and didn't really do too much. But then out of nowhere, there was a kind of like heavier moment and it goes and it kind of got funkier as the kind of heaviness was going on.
Yeah.
Then it just went back into this really boring like verse riff again. And it was just like they didn't know when to give and take the kind of quirks of progression.
You're right. That is a thing on the album. You're right. They're like they would keep coming back to that. It was almost like they'd have a simple song and then they'd go off crazy and do all this stuff, then come back to the simplicity of it.
Exactly.
And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. They did some really cool things with blast beats as well. I think it was only in Horsepowered and Boil where they did stuff with blast beats and they sounded really good when they did it. The drummer is excellent anyway. The drummer's amazing.
Drummer's incredible.
Yeah.
Agreed. And I think he's one of the standouts.
Oh, yeah. And I did think, like, they should do more of that. Because when they were doing that stuff, like, when you looked at, like, the year it came out, it sounded really ahead of its time. Like, especially the song Horsepower, which you're like, God, this sounds like it could have been off of that Dillinger Mike Patton EP.
Yeah, absolutely. My first points was it's so Mr. Bungle / Dillinger. So like,
yeah,
I mean, it's bang on.
But this was like 93 as well. So I definitely really respect some of the stuff they were doing.
Were they big? Were they a big band?
Well, no,
I've never heard of them.
They're tiny, I think.
Really?
I'm really surprised, man. Because at the time that you think, right, in the 90s, that you had bands like Primus and stuff getting really huge and stuff. Labels didn't shy away from bands being too weird or anything like that, did they? So I'm surprised these guys weren't kind of a bit bigger.
Yeah. What was it released on?
Metal Blade.
I see.
Yeah.
So it's pretty, like, big label.
Yeah, I suppose it is a big label. But yeah, I still thought they might have had a sound that they could have had some sort of alternative radio hit at some point, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe in the States.
I don't know, man. I mean, like, when you look at them on, say, Spotify, they've got, like, 8,000, 10,000 plays per song, which is not really anything, is it? When you think of an album that old.
No, it's not, is it? I mean, you click on them, they've got 500 monthly listeners.
That's probably
smaller
than
ours. Which is nothing.
It's more than our pods. I don't know what we're doing, trying to slag off the amount of listeners they've got.
No, but I'm just saying, like, if they were considered... I guess not pioneers, but if they were in that kind of first batch of like 90s alternative weird proggy metal,
yeah,
they would have a lot more listeners.
Yeah, and
like Primus has got, I don't know, it's got to be thousands, hasn't it?
Maybe hundreds of thousands or something like that. But I saw a Twitter post and people were talking about bands that you like that don't, you know, that don't. No one had heard of, and someone brought these up.
Yeah.
Thought industry.
How did it go down?
Well, no one said anything.
Yeah. Completely ignored.
Yeah. Completely ignored. I just think they're one of those bands.
Yeah.
Who's bigger, Thought Industry or Bloodstar?
Oh, that's a question, ain't it? Fuck.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you.
It's hard to say, isn't it? It's like, because Bloodstar got such little, like, you know, their stuff isn't even on Spotify, so it's hard to see who's listening to them in this day and age. I don't know why we're talking about Bloodstar, to be honest with you. Sorry, leave them. We've done enough for them.
We have, yeah. Well, we've done all that they've had to offer.
Exactly, yeah.
How did you feel about the vocals?
He's a good singer.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a good singer. Like for this sort of stuff, yeah.
Okay.
Is it massively my sort of thing? Not really, but he's got a bit of a Mike Patton-esque vibe to him, which, you know, I'm a big Mike Patton fan. Yeah, like I didn't mind them at all. What about you? It sounds like you're gonna. What are you gonna say about?
No, I was not a fan.
Really?
I was not. Yeah, I don't know why. They just didn't click with me. I found them annoying more than anything.
Did you think? I don't want to say they were new Messley because this predated it. But do you think what he was doing? It kind of became a bit of a thing with new metal.
Nah. Because like we said, like Mike Patton was sort of doing that kind of stuff as well.
That's true.
More extreme even.
Do you think these guys would, I mean, these guys were probably heavily influenced by Mr. Bungle and stuff, weren't they?
Yeah, I'd imagine so. You can sort of hear that.
Where are they from? Kalamazoo? Where's that? Michigan.
Somewhere in America. Yeah, Michigan. Yeah, there's not much information out there about them. Like, I don't know if they were big, like what tours they went on type thing. Like, I don't know.
No, honestly, I don't think they did that much, really.
Interesting. I think, all right, do you have a song that you'd say to someone, like, listen to this if you want to
get
into this band?
I'd say just go for track one, Horsepowered.
Yeah, and then turn off.
I mean, I think... I'm in agreement with you that I thought Boyle was good.
Yep.
As well. So I'd maybe go, I think the three you liked, I'm in agreement with them actually, like go for Horsepower, Boyle, and To Build a Better Bulldozer, which wasn't instrumental, but it was interesting. It was enjoyable.
That was really interesting. I think it was probably the most interesting song, like musically on the album.
Do you think the lack of vocals for you as well made you like it more?
Possibly. I've done it. You. This was.
I know.
This was
I was
your
about
thing.
To say this is what I do. When did I do that last? I did it a lot more in the '80s.
I can't remember. Yeah, you did it. You did it a lot more in the '80s, I think, and maybe the earlier episodes. Should we score?
God, this feels like a really short episode this week.
Well, I mean, we're on 30 minutes already.
Are we? I know, but
yeah.
Do you know what it is like? It's one of those weeks with albums where they're not. They're not bad albums, so it's not sort of like slagging it off and laughing at it for ages. But then
I tried to entice you to slag it off, but you just weren't biting.
Well, this one, no, I don't want to slag it off. I quite enjoyed it.
Did you? How are you rating it?
I was going to give it a 3.8.
Okay.
I thought when you went silent, then I thought you'd hung up. I'm off. Yeah.
I gave it a 2.8.
You gave it 2.8?
Yeah.
It's not your thing, is it, at all?
It annoyed me more than it enjoyed me.
That's a saying.
New slogan.
That's a new slogan. It annoyed me more than it enjoyed me. Well, but that means it's enjoying you.
You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. I just wanted to defend it. I don't want to
defend it. Yeah,
I was defending it.
Let's move on. Okay, we're fucking rapidly coming towards the end of the 90s.
Well, you say that, John, but me and you had a chat the other day, didn't we? And we realised there's a few.
Oh, we missed a big one. Yeah,
but we missed a big one, but we've added a few more anyway, haven't we?
What else did we add? All right, hit me with the list.
Right. So, right, Prague. Let me get rid of that. Right. So we've now got folk, which we've added.
Yep.
Folk metal. Speed metal, which you're going to have to explain this to me, because what is the difference between that and thrash metal? Right, moving on. John doesn't know. John's trying to make something up in his head.
Just trying to find an easy way to explain it. I think speed metal is kind of heavy metal, like classic kind of heavy metal, but a lot faster.
Oh, okay, right.
And thrash has that more kind of, I want to say, sinister triplet. Chuggy.
Got you.
Feel.
Okay. We're going to do symphonic.
I guess we are. Yeah.
If we can find something. And the one we missed, which I'm really surprised we missed, is grindcore. We haven't done grindcore for the 90s.
That's right. Fuck, we've got some big ones to go then.
There's some big ones to go. And also, John's...
Brexit.
John's British headliners.
Brexit metal.
John's Brexit metal. We don't need anyone else.
new wave of British heavy metal, but that's a genre. Like, is that just heavy?
Is
that just heavy metal?
When we end up with Iron Maiden and stuff again.
Just Maiden and Priest.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We probably will.
All right, let's save that. Let's save that one. All right, so...
Go on, John. You pick, as always.
I'm up for doing grindcore.
Up for doing grindcore.
Wow. Okay. I have got... You're going to love this.
What have you got?
Well, I always thought this was just a Converge record. The Poacher Diaries, Converge. But is it a split with Agoraphobic Nosebleed?
Yeah, it's a split of Agoraphobic Nosebleed.
I see.
So, I mean, Agoraphobic Nosebleed are definitely a grindcore band.
Well, early Converge was definitely not a million miles away from grind.
No. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah?
Have you heard this before?
No, I don't think I have.
I haven't for a long time, but I have heard it.
Because you loved older Converge, didn't you?
I still do.
Still do.
I know. We've had this... I've spoken to you about how I prefer that era.
So did you dip out of Converge around Jane Doe?
No. No, I sort of... I lost interest after... The last album I bought by Converge was No Heroes.
Okay.
And I sort of lost interest in the one after that. You know when they went all... They went all tappy?
Yeah, more pull off than tappy, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean that's a fair take.
Did that become the sort of part of their style?
Yes and no. I think you're maybe over exaggerating how tappy it became, but Axe to Fall is certainly a bit more like pull off riffs and for using your word tappy. But you should give it a time, man. That album's incredible, Axe to Fall. But anyway, yeah, we're not talking about that.
Right,
so, well, hang on, this is cool because it's then kind of two bands.
We're going to do two bands,
for the price of one.
Okay, and have you heard Agoraphobic Nosebleed?
I've heard them before, yeah, but I haven't heard this.
They are, right, I don't want to get this wrong, but I feel like Agoraphobic Nosebleed, are they a side project of one of the guys from Pig Destroyer?
I remember they were a band that I always, this was when you'd go into Virgin or HMV, or Tower Records even, and it was... You'd go to the metal section. They were always a band that I'd see because obviously they start with A.
Yeah.
How it was kind of listed out back then. And I always was like drawn to the name.
Really?
But I never really checked them out.
I have checked them out before. I felt like they were one of these bands that were like, they had this sort of like mythical thing about them because I think they didn't really play live very much.
Oh, really? One of those.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, and then Converge, obviously Converge. Yeah, we'll talk about them more in the next episode. Okay, right. Who have you got then?
Oh, yeah, me. I have got Hate Eternal.
Hate Eternal?
Yeah. So this is the guitar. I think you know this guy's name. So it's the guy, Eric Rutan.
Oh,
is he in Cannibal Corpse now? Yeah.
He's in Cannibal Corpse now. And he's...
Is he Morbid Angel?
Who was he in before? Was it Morbid Angel?
I think so.
He's like a machine, man. His riffs are unreal. I've actually listened to this band before. Borgo made me listen to one of their, I think it was a recent album, maybe.
Are they grindcore though, or are they death metal? I feel like they're a death metal band.
I thought they were more death metal thinking about it, but I don't know.
Let's move on. Let's do another one. Right, John, I've got another one.
Okay, yeah, hit me.
Right, and I don't know who these are. So this is a band called God, and the album's called Possession, right? Listen to this.
Yep.
So they are. So it's the guy, and I've heard of the Bug. That's like an electronic thing. But the guy from that was in this band, which was a 9 or 10 member unit, combining screaming free jazz with grinding post-punk metal and dub, and included many improv players, and Justin Broderick on guitar from Godflesh.
Interesting.
It's probably not going to be your typical grindcore. This is a little bit like John Zorn, isn't it,
John
from the
Zorn.
80s?
Yeah, man. Okay.
I feel like we should have that.
Yeah, I'm quite interested because then it's kind of like the same kind of vibe, different decades. See how it kind of progressed, that kind of free jazz. Do you reckon?
Oh, my God. Wait, look at the bottom. John Zorn guessing three tries.
Does he?
Yeah. he's there.
He loves it, doesn't he? He's got his fingers in all of it.
Yeah, he loves it. All right, then let's do those two. I think we need an interesting week. I feel like the albums this week were just sort of like... Not
too middle of the road, weren't they?
They're a bit middle of the road, even though that sounds a bit weird to say about Thought Industry, because it kind of isn't middle of the road.
It's not. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Which is so interesting that it was boring.
I'd say definitely check them both out.
Yeah.
Just to see if you like it. If you like epic heavy metal doom, then Solitude Eternus will definitely turn you on, but I don't know. I don't know who I'd suggest.
Do you know what, John? I feel like me and you could go to both of those albums and do a little EP of three or four songs from each one and really sell it.
Package it better than they did.
Yeah, we get rid of the rest.
All that work. Okay, yeah, no, I'm excited for this week, man. That sounds really cool.
So what we got? So we got Possession by God, and we got a split. We're doing a split, aren't we? With Agoraphobic Nosebleed, Converge,
and Converge,
the Poacher Diaries.
The Poacher Diaries. Yeah, man, I'm excited. This is maybe the oldest Converge album I would have done in full.
What year was it?
99.
Oh, so it was. This was post Petition in the Empty Sky and When Forever Comes Crashing.
Yes, that was. 98, wasn't it?
I think When Forever Comes Crashing was 98, and then Petition was the Empty Sky was maybe 97 or before that. No, it was before then.
I never I think I've listened to them a couple times, and as in like a song from it.
Yeah,
but I never dived into that kind of era of Converge.
You didn't?
No. So I'm excited for this. Was it the same lineup?
No, I think it had all the same guys, but they had an extra guitarist.
Ah, okay. All right, yeah, let's save this for next week, because that's...
All right, cool.
All right, Mike Ender then.
Yeah, all right. I'm just trying to do like... I'm trying to do a decent one now.
I love the sigh at the start.
I know, but the thing is, I want to go into it seamlessly without you needing to say. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. But I feel like we would have just been talking about Converge for some time.
Yeah, that will save that for next week.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks. Well, thanks everyone for joining us. Apologies for this. I don't know. I feel like it was a bit rubbish this week.
I don't think rubbish. I just think potentially not as enjoyable as
boring.
Bullshit. Just shit.
But stick with us. I think next week we'll really come back next week, won't we, John? And really give
back
you a good
stronger.
One next week.
Back stronger.
Yeah. But do rate and subscribe and check us out on socials. We're on, what are we on, John? We're on Instagram, Twitter.
Yep. X.
X, which is Twitter.
I think that's it, isn't it?
That's it. And we'll see you next week. Join us for 90s Grindcore. Right, John. We've checked it out, haven't we? We've checked out God.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's good that we're kind of jumping in now and not.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Not at the start of the next episode.
Yeah, let's write this wrong immediately.
Yes, so we had a listen. Great, really good. I'd say definitely go check it out, but it's not grindcore in the slightest, really.
No, weird that it was. I don't get this kind of the way they lump some of these bands in with grindcore. Is it because of the members that they've got in there?
I don't know, man. Even you could argue that kind of Jonta or Naked City wasn't grindcore. There was just maybe like moments of when there was grind elements thrown in.
Yeah.
And this is even less so than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was more
I don't know, man. It's a weird one.
This was more kind of like avant-garde, like post-metal type stuff,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It was quite hypnotic in places, actually. Yeah. It went very, very rhythmic. Definitely worth checking out.
Yeah.
There's some like interesting stuff on there.
Anyway, look, we've gone again.
Yes, we've shuffled again.
We've shuffled again, and we're confident with this one.
Yep.
We have got Brutal Truth, and the album is... Oh, Christ, what was the album? Need to Control.
Need to Control.
From 94.
Yes. The artwork doesn't look grindcore-y, but it is. It is definitely grindcore. We had a quick listen, and we can confirm.
Had you heard of this band before?
No, never. You?
Yeah. I listened to the odd bit of them. I'm sure they had an album that's like a photo of a like half a man's face and half a gorilla's face.
Yeah, I've just seen that now.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That is the worst artwork. Oh, my God.
Do you like that? Who is that guy? He looks like an actor. I feel like I recognise the guy.
It looks a little bit like Kurt Angle.
It's Kurt
what
Angle.
Is that? That is the worst.
Do you really think that's the worst?
That's terrible artwork.
Let me see. I'm going to see.
It's such a bad Photoshop job of the faces merging.
What year did it come out? 97. Well, it's probably early days of Photoshop, right?
Oh, fucking hell. I mean, if you're listening to this on a computer or on your phone, just Google it. Brutal Truth, Sounds of the Animal Kingdom. Yeah. Mad. All right. Yeah. Brutal right, Truth. Cool. Need to control. That's where we're going. We'll catch you next week for Grind.